If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to Cosmic Channels. Open minds on cosmic lines. The show streams live Sundays at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time on YouTube and Twitch. Tune in then for your chance to share your tale or your theories. The number is 1-833-703-0424. The Cosmic Channels are open. Welcome to Cosmic Channels.
I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Caught that. I just unmuted your voice exactly when you said that.
Yeah, if you want to call in this week, we're taking all calls. The last couple ones have kind of been dream heavy, and we don't want to be the dream police here. So we're going to try to limit the dream calls this week. We want to hear about if you've seen strange lights in the skies, theories on conspiracy theories, whatever you got. Call us at 1-833-703-0424. I didn't even read that. I memorized that.
Whoa.
Somebody on the line here?
Oh, shit. Yeah, the 1 second. The fuck?
Oh, somebody's listening to the stream or what?
Caller, please turn down your radio.
Yeah. I fucked it up, though. Stay on the line. Stay on the line. If you're there, stay on the line.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, he's in. Okay, sweet. Okay, we got it. All right, welcome to Cosmic Channels.
Hello.
Yo, what's up?
Oh, just chilling. I'm coming off a tibia surgery. I figured what else to do, you know?
Tibia surgery, that sounds brutal. What happened?
I was skiing in Revelstoke and hit a stump going really fast. And was hoping to get a ride in the mongoose mobile, but it was someone else sort of transferred to Vernon.
Ouch, man.
Local Revy boy. That's a bad start to the year, man. I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, pretty much just ended it.
Yeah, it sucks, man. You got a story for us tonight?
Yeah, I've got a cryptid one. It's kind of undiagnosed, but it's just kind of too fishy to let go, you know?
For sure.
So I was part of a group of firefighters from D.C. deployed to Oregon this past September, October. and my crew was working a line, and we were kind of way out in the sticks, like probably like a 50-mile drive from the nearest like public road. And we had been given this line that was a couple kilometers long, and so they split our squads up, and my squad was going to start at the bottom, the other squad was going to start at the top, and we're going to work towards each other. So I get to my spot with my squad, and looking like our objective just didn't exist. We were supposed to like fix some guards, so I'm like, okay, you guys just hang out. I'll walk up by myself and like see if I can find what we're supposed to do, or at least run into the other guys. So I'll take off. The boys all sit down. I'm cruising up, and I like kind of hear something. And I've been walking for probably like I don't know, like 20 minutes at this point. And so what I do when I like hear people in my whole crew noses is I give out like a long dog whistle, kind of like a sort of thing.
Right.
So I let out one of those. Like a couple seconds later, something like whistles almost the exact same whistle right back at me. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. That's like, I've got to be getting close to the other group, because like it answered me. And we were kind of in like a wooded area, so there's not really any echoes. There wasn't any birds because of the smoke. So I'm like, okay, I'll keep on trucking. So I walk like another 20 minutes. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of suspicious. Get up to the top, and the other guys are just parking their trucks. They hadn't even got there yet.
Oh, shit.
So I was like, oh, what the heck? So I talked to him for a couple minutes. I was like, okay, I'm just going to rip back down. It's all downhill. I could probably do it pretty fast. Get back to the bottom, and I'm like talking to my squads. And they're like, I was like, hey, guys, you follow me up at all and whistle at me? They're like, no, man, we've been here the whole time. And I was like, wait, it's like, really? They're like, yeah, man, no fooling. I was like, oh, geez, boys, I got something to tell you.
Oh,
that's really creepy.
So,
yeah, it was just like an almost like mirrored, but it definitely wasn't my whistle, but it was like close enough. It was just bizarre, man.
Like someone was mimicking you.
Yeah.
Or something. I'm trying to think of like what cryptids that we know, like Wendigo.
Okay.
Possibly, right?
You said this is Oregon, correct?
Oregon? It's Bigfoot, yeah, man.
That's Bigfoot territory. But how often do you hear of Bigfoot mimicking people, like doing a callback for a whistle?
Not so much a whistle, no.
Right? So that's why I'm leaning to something a little more supernatural, like a Wendigo or something, right? Something that might be luring someone.
Yeah, no, it was creepy. Like, yeah, I don't know. We had been.
I'm looking for a little clarification on the distance. You think so? You whistled. You got a call back with a similar whistle. You thought it was your buddies because you all do that. You would all do that sound to know where you are in the bush. Did it sound like pretty far away or like just over the hill or?
It sounded within 100 meters.
All right, so close enough that's audible, and you can kind of detect which way it's coming from.
Yeah, like I could kind of like think where, I knew which direction it came from. And like kind of generally where it felt like it was on the hillside, but yeah.
What you're in like, is it just thick forest or what type of terrain is it? Is it hilly, mountainous?
Yeah, it was like kind of like, it was pretty hilly. Like it was pretty steep. It was taking me like, took me 40 minutes to go like 4 or 5 kilometers, which I can usually truck. And then, it was like old growth, like big firs with like a pretty decent understory. So like, it'd be pretty easy to like lose the trail sort of thing if you went off it.
Right.
But, yeah.
Oh man, that's. But no, not just the one callback, one whistle, one callback.
Well, I did it twice. So,
twice.
Because I whistled again, and then it like responded again, and I just started trucking after that one.
Now, how secluded is this area? Is there a chance that there is? Like another person in earshot that could have done this, or is it so far off the grid that the chances of that are getting slim?
So where we were was in all private land owned by Weyerhaeuser, the logging company. So it's got no public access. We had to like get let in through a gate every day, and they told us where they were logging, and it was on the complete other side of the valley. and we were, as far as we knew, the only ones over there. And like the nearest road would have been the one we parked at. Cause then the other group had to drive like an extra, obviously, like hour around to get to the top.
Huh. Crazy.
Yeah. It was
something. You didn't feel watched, though, as you're walking towards the whistling sound? You didn't, like, feel creeped out at all? It seemed more or less normal until you found out it wasn't your buddies?
Yeah, I just kind of, like, assumed that it was the guys at the top there. And then once I got back to the bottom and talked back to my squad, it was just kind of, like, sent shivers down my spine because it was just like, what the heck?
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, I'm pretty bush savvy. I've been, like, grew up in the middle of nowhere sort of thing, but I've never had anything like that happen.
Oh, for sure. They don't just hire nobodies to go walk and like do fight wildfires deep in the bush, so I'd imagine you're pretty proficient.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool, man. That's a creepy encounter.
It's very, very creepy encounter in the woods.
Yeah, thanks for the story, man. Well, sorry about that leg injury, but I'll shred a little powder for you this year in your honor.
You'll up quick.
Thank you much, please.
Thanks, buddy. Bye. Creepy story. Possible
Bigfoot.
That's
a good cryptid one. We haven't had one of those. Listen, I'm not putting it past Bigfoot to be able to do a whistle. I'm just saying that, like, it's not something we hear about lots.
I know. Dan, you listen to a lot of Sasquatch Chronicles. Anyone ever call in that show with whistling?
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure I've heard about cases of that happening before. Like, they can mimic human speech, not exactly imitate it like perfectly, but there's reports of them, people accounts of them mimicking that kind of speech, or there's always the famous Sierra sounds or whatever they call them, the samurai sounds that they kind of refer to, where it's just like, it sounds like just gibberish. It's just like humans talking, sounds like humans, human speech, but it's not words.
Right.
I wouldn't put it beyond them to be able to whistle or mimic a whistle, but to mimic a whistle though, it's like you would need, and I'm not saying that they don't, because I'm not really sure like what the entire like facial structure of a, you know, I'm pretty sure apes can't whistle.
How thick are those Bigfoot lips?
Right. So I'm like, I don't know if they could be whistle, like it could be something like that. So, but I don't think it's beyond, you know. It's not beyond belief that they could do that, something like that. So, I know I've probably heard something of like the mimicking of whistle, but it could be some other cryptid. Could also possibly be a northern mockingbird. I know those are live in that area in Oregon, in that northern area, but I don't really hear them. I know I've heard mockingbirds mimic things like car alarms before, but I'm not so sure about whistles.
Apes can whistle.
Apes can whistle. Okay.
So then that definitely puts Bigfoot back on the
track. Back on the list.
You know what he was doing, the old.
It's got a thing for Revy boys.
Yeah, he got lucky is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Likes those firefighters.
That's a cool one though. You whistle, you get a response. You think it's your buddies. You get to the place they're supposed to be. They're just showing up. They're like, no, it wasn't us, man. And you're like, fuck.
But then that asks the question, you know, that brings up the question, why was it whistling? Was it trying to lure him out there? Was it trying to bring him out there closer so he could see him? Was it a warning of some type? Like, was it trying to keep him out of his area or something?
Wasn't he saying like that's how they kind of communicate when they're far apart, by whistling?
Sure, so there's whistling, and I know tree knocking seems to be a popular theory of their communication. But yeah, he definitely said whistling. It wasn't a high-pitched scream or anything like that. So I would put my money on like the high-pitched screams that people hear sometimes is probably when a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch is agitated, would probably be the reason for that.
A warning scream?
Right. Or like intimidation.
That's what I do. Second I'm intimidated.
Walks out on the porch and just starts screaming at people.
His Bigfoot cat call, he got lucky, he didn't get scooped up. That's what happened.
Yeah,
there.
Sure. Yeah. 100%.
He didn't listen to, was it David Pilatus?
Pilatus, yeah.
Pilatus. He didn't listen to his motto of don't travel in the woods.
Don't
alone.
Go in the woods.
Yeah. Buddy system.
Buddy system Everybody all the system. Way.
Check for boulders. Were there large bushes. Boulders in the area?
Is there any bushes near creeks?
Berry bushes, bodies of water.
You won't find Andrew there. We got another caller, though.
Chance.
No, we're waiting on the line.
We got a slow night here.
Ooh. Got a Bigfoot call. We might have stuffed a couple people with the no dream call.
And also, listen, if you want to call, talk about, we want to hear your thoughts on the monoliths. What's your thoughts on the monoliths popping up all around the world right now?
Last week we talked about the one, and I think since then there was the Romanian one, and then another one mimic in California.
That the religious group went and took
down.
Well,
they liberated it. It got liberated for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Co-opted.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on it? The Romania one doesn't look the same.
Not even close.
No.
And I didn't get a really good shot of the California one. And I know, I was reading some people were saying that it's some artist, and now he's selling them for $40,000 a pop.
So it's like the Banksy of monoliths, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we're going to bring in another caller here. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey, what's up? This is Chris.
Chris, calling from where?
Indiana.
Indiana. What kind of story you got for us tonight, or theory?
All right. What are your guys' thoughts on the TR-3B?
TR-3B. What's that?
The triangle shape.
Are you talking about the
spacecrafts?
Oh, like the delta shape UFOs?
Yeah. Like, there's a theory that it's United States government or whatever, military. Or it could be
an ET crap. Like, you're saying that these could be the next generation of a new stealth fighter, a new craft that's being developed, or ET technology?
Yeah, I didn't know if you guys had looked into it at all or anything like that, but they've been seen a lot, and I saw one.
You saw one?
At least what I think is one. I saw the triangle-shaped light.
All right, let's go through that encounter.
It happened probably 2 years ago, Memorial Day weekend. It flew over, my backyard, and I have, this maple tree. I think it goes up probably about 100 foot tall. And then this thing was probably an additional 50 feet above that, made absolutely no sound.
Right.
And we have a small airport kind of close to here. But usually when a little plane flies over, it makes, a lot of noise from the propellers and all that.
Yep.
And this thing, like I said, absolutely no noise. It didn't have the center light in the, if you look up pictures of people's art drawings of it or whatever, usually there's the three, one at each point of the triangle shape. And then the center one will be a glowing red. This one didn't have any lights on it in the center. And if in the direction, from my backyard, if you were to draw a line on the map of where it was going, it's heading straight towards Wright-Patterson. That's saying it didn't take a turn left or right or whatever. But yeah, it was heading straight towards that. And I was just kind of wondering if you guys, if that, it's come up in any of your guys' research or anything like that, and what your thoughts were on that.
Well, I don't think it's... I don't think they're going to be human crafts. I mean, I say that only because we've been seeing triangle crafts for so long, for 30 years or something. I feel like people have been reporting these triangle shaped objects that kind of don't move in regular patterns, I guess, as aircraft. So it's, to me, it's interesting because they're seen all over the time and all over the place all the time. And it's interesting because I wonder how many can be attributed to crafts we already have. And then because I have seen footage of some of the triangle shaped ones where they're just flying in a straight line. And, when I see those ones, I think in my head, I'm like, well, you know what, if they're not, it's not too unusual to see something in our skies flying in a straight line. It's when they start deviating from that or hovering silently. That's when you see footage of those triangle lights over, you know, all over the place. So I definitely think they've got to be extraterrestrial, just for, I would say, most of them. If they're doing something where it's very common that you would see that, then I chalk it up to like a human.
Well, like I've been looking at the pictures here on Google, and they actually, like, they kind of do resemble the stealth bomber.
Yeah, well, that's, you know what I mean?
And he's saying, like, it's pretty close to an Air Force base as well. Oh. But also, I do need to say, like, this is, we're talking to a celebrity here. This is our famous ATT artist, Chris. This is the guy that's been drawing us all the fucking rad pictures.
Is it Kemmerly?
Is this Kemmerly?
Wait, hey, yeah. why don't you lead with that?
Yeah, buddy.
Why don't you lead with that next man. Time?
Fuck yeah. This is our guy.
This guy.
Well, then that'll build it up a little too fast then, I think.
I like
you that. You guys expect a lot.
No, on the topic, though, of the triangle craft, say they are, if they're man-made, just like in the, back in, before Area 51 was public knowledge, they were, like, developing the stealth bomber. Like, what they do there, they did the stealth bomber, the F-177, the stealth fighter. And those things, if you didn't know what that was and you seen it flying in the sky before you knew there's Area 51 and they're developing these crafts, you'd be like, that's a UFO, that's an alien craft. So maybe the next generation of flight, of like propulsion, is being developed top secret. It's 20 years before we're really going to find out. And that's what this is. They've developed a way to like fly silently without like exhaust propulsion. So if you're,
well, man, like, you look at the stealth bomber, and it's unlike anything else we've created before. And like, if you told me like that was based off of an alien craft that they found, I'd 100% buy that.
Yep.
It looks like a fucking badass spaceship.
It does.
Well, hey, not to tear you guys off or anything, but like this thing, when it was flying over, it was probably going like 5 miles an hour, like walking speed. It made no sound.
Yeah, so it's like, that's hovering. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the net. If that's not alien, that's next level tech that we have no idea exists.
You know, whenever you see this type of stuff, you kind of want to go get somebody, right? To, you know, so I ran inside to, you know, grab my wife and come out and see it. And by the time we got back, it flew over the tree line. And it's just kind of irritating when, you know, there's a lot of people that see this stuff and then they can't, like, get a second person out there.
The sightings usually happen so fast and you're not prepared. Like, they catch you off guard. So by the time you do get someone else, it's either gone or like no one else is around if he tried. So yeah, it's.
No, I was going to say, usually when people say, well, why don't you have a picture of it or whatever? It's hard to, you know, get the evidence quick enough.
Definitely.
And I don't care how good your camera is. It like, if it's not adequate lighting, like, you're going to have a shitty photo.
Well, yeah, you have these really great cameras on phones and stuff now, but if it's low light and you have to zoom in at all, it becomes so pixelated. Even with a great, like one of the newest versions of phones, the cameras are still not like pro level. Like, you can't like zoom in. As soon as you zoom in, it goes to shit instantly. But no, that's a cool one. Hey, thanks, Chris. Thanks. We appreciate all you do for us. We will never forget.
Not a problem.
No, we love it. You're a beauty.
Yeah, this guy's a...
Hey, Chris, plug your Instagram or something, man. Let people know where they can find your artwork.
Hell of an artist.
Oh, you can find my art page, Chris Kemmerly Art. Or I think my Instagram is Chris_artist_Kemmerly.
Right on, man. If you're looking for artwork, go check him out. He's a beauty. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you guys tag me all the time on it, so they can find it there.
Sounds good. All right, right on, man. Have a good one.
All right, later.
Yeah, the delta shape, the triangle crafts, common sighting. Alien craft or advanced human tech undisclosed to the public. Time will tell, I guess.
Yeah, I would say the only thing I would say is like it possibly could be some kind of stealth drone, like for the Lockheed Martin RQ-170 Sentinel is one of those. It's like an example. It could be something like that, but because he said it was flying so low, or it looked like it was flying so low, I you know, that's something else that would kind of, that's an argument against it being some type of drone. Cause if you're a military designed drone, you'd want to fly at high altitude to, you know, prevent it or, you know, minimize your risk of getting shot down.
Or it would have to be so small, like such a small drone to be able to like infiltrate. Like when those, they have like those prototype, like dragonfly drones that are like the size of like a match.
Sure, but it's he said it was traveling so slow, so that's a thing where it's like, okay, if it's traveling so slow, like, why? I mean, that's the kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, fucking reconnaissance.
Yeah, like, so, check in. Yeah.
Man, you guys remember that movie Broken Arrow?
Yes.
Yeah, so that was a good movie.
Dude, I remember seeing, that's like the first time I saw a stealth bomber and being like, that's the coolest fucking plane I've ever seen in my life.
Isn't Broken Arrow like a command?
Isn't that a John Woo movie?
As what?
I know it's called Travolta.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. And Christian Slater, man.
Oh, that's right.
What the fuck happened to Christian Slater? You do not see that guy anymore.
Yeah, it was a John Woo movie. Yeah. It was directed by John Woo.
Wasn't he in Mr.
He's
Robot?
On a TV show.
Mr. Robot.
Yeah, he's on Mr. Robot. He's on a couple TV shows.
I mean, Legend says his hair's still receding.
It never stops.
He got plugs for sure to keep it that receded look. No way that guy would have hair now. That's like Jude Law. Jude Law's got more hair now than he did fucking like 20 years ago. Doesn't make sense.
Natural regrowth.
Teach me how.
Meditation.
Look at that forehead. I can't teach it.
Positive attitude.
I can't teach you how to do it. It just doesn't happen.
I can't see it, Zell. You're fucking. I just see ZZ Top. I see double Z's here.
Oh, you don't? What?
I can't see you.
You don't? I don't know if you have your virtual camera set. We don't see you.
Oh, yeah. You haven't seen me the whole time?
No.
No, man.
Well, what do you know?
It's better that way, though, so then we can believe you that you've been regrowing hair, because I don't.
Do we have another caller on the line?
We do not. Someone call in.
We want to hear your stories or thoughts on the previous calls.
Like, Zell's the one running the switchboard, so I'm pretty sure he would know if people were calling.
I'm just curious.
If someone calls... Usually I see it, but sometimes you miss one. So it's, you know, it can be a good question sometimes. Sometimes I forget to have the calls working, period. So that also.
Zell's just like shitting on himself right now. A little peek behind the curtain, everybody. We're fucking idiots.
Yeah.
That's good. Hey, just giving ammunition for the Facebook wall.
Dude,
this all gets cleaned up in post.
You try and run a toll-free number with a call queue into Skype to three other people over Skype and then record them separately all at the same time.
Not a chance. It's bananas. I'm lucky I can turn my machine on.
We do. You could not do podcasts and any harder than the way we do podcasts.
Yeah. If you honestly, Zell, we should do a podcast about how to do a podcast the most difficult way possible.
I'd show you exactly how to do it. It's ridiculous, but it's better than not doing any podcast. So.
This is true.
We become quite proficient in the virtual podcast. Probably we were doing virtual podcasts before it was cool to do a virtual podcast during COVID.
We're ahead of the curve. Boom.
We've been social distancing forever.
Yeah. 5 years straight.
5 years. Man, I want more people to call. Let's talk about crop circles. What are your guys' thoughts on crop circles? Call us. Let us know. Were they all man-made? Are some places of power? What do you think did them? I mean, I haven't heard of a crop circle in
a long time.
Long time. I think the heyday was in the 90s.
They happen all the time now, but now a lot of people, it's become an art for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Has it, what like brought them, was it X-Files or some shit that was like kind of shine a light on them? You know what I mean? So people
heyday was like in the 80s and early 90s. So it's like... I don't know if they were X-Files shone a light on them or if they were like already past their heyday when X-Files made them popular.
It's been a while since I really dug into crop circles, but yeah, they started in they've been reports for a long time, but in the late 80s and early 90s is when they were like having the really intricate ones that people couldn't explain that seemed to appear overnight.
Yeah.
Fuck,
that would be fucking true.
All right, we got a call. We're back in the game, baby. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
Good. How about you?
Yeah, it's going good.
That's good. Not bad. It's Cody from Manitoba again.
Hey, yeah, Cody. It is.
Cody.
I got like a story, and then I have a theory about the monolith.
All right. Let's hear it.
All right. So the story is first. So... I think it was like last week, last no, it was like Tuesday, I think. I was at home and I was doing, like, I was cleaning up my kitchen, and my roommate was helping me, and we have one of those, like, plastic, you know, like those plastic containers of those Tide Pods for, like, the laundry.
Don't eat it.
We have, like, one of those.
Don't eat it. Don't eat it. Don't eat the pod.
Too late. We had some for breakfast.
All right.
I'm just kidding. So anyway, so on, like, the lid for those, you have to, like, screw on, and they clip on, right? And so he did that. He put the lid on, and he put it on top of, on the side of the washer. And I was cleaning up, I was sweeping the floor, and all of a sudden, like, the lid popped off and, like, fell right in front of me about 3 feet away from the container off the washer. I don't know how. Like, as soon as it happened, I turned to my roommate, and I was like, you closed the thing, right? And he's like, yeah, why? I was like, you closed, like, the laundry detergent, right? And he's like, yeah. I was like, that lid just flew off and landed, like, on the floor in front of me. It was really weird because it was snapped shut. Like, it clips shut. It was super weird.
So it's the lid snapped off when it shouldn't have because it was a snap-on lid, one of those tight-fitting snap-on lids.
Right. Like, you have to, like, screw it halfway and then it, like, clicks. There's two buttons on the side you have to press and then you can, like, unscrew it.
Right.
And then when you close it, you screw it halfway and it clips. It clicks in.
So Mr. Clean's paranormally activating you is what you're saying.
Is this a one-off incident, or have you had, maybe you haven't witnessed it, but you've seen, you know, stuff on the floor that shouldn't be or stuff moved, or is this like a one-off kind of incident at this point?
Oh, there's like, the last little while, there's been like things like falling over. Like, I had a sink full of dishes the other day because we hadn't gotten to the dishes yet and they hadn't moved all day. And then during the night, like, I was gaming out, I was playing some Modern Warfare, and all of a sudden I heard this giant like shift in the dishes in the sink. And I went and looked, and they like all shifted over, but they hadn't moved all day.
Is this the same house?
My ex girlfriend. Sorry?
Same house?
Yeah.
Poltergeist.
Yep. Is the house built on an ancient native burial ground? That would make sense.
I mean, not that I know of, but it's possible, I guess.
The other thing is, dude, honestly, get yourself an EMF reader. They're $70. Mr. Conspiracy's house, who I'm staying at right now, his place is haunted. I'll like, every now and then you get some like weird vibes in this place. You'll turn on the EMF reader, walk around the house, and you'll get level 5 hits, just like bam, bam, bam. And you're like,
why?
What the fuck's
why
going
them?
On?
What the? There's nothing you can do about it. You don't have a fucking proton pack. Why do you want to know? Why do you want to know?
Because then I put out the energy back into the world of like, don't fuck with me, ghost, and I won't fuck with you.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what you do.
That's
exactly
what it is.
You're talking about screaming early. I think that's exactly what you do every time it hits 5. Yeah. I don't want to know. Fuck that. Unless it's... how many times are you going to sell your house in a year? Mine would be up for sale every fucking 6 months.
You would never be able to move into any house. You'd be fucked.
No.
But...
No, I'm not living outside either. Where am I going to live?
But if you're if you're legit getting these things, start getting some more evidence, right? Fucking leave a Ouija out with the planchette, right? Do the things you're not supposed to do. Let's get some evidence.
Don't listen to Brayden at all, man.
You're not supposed to do.
Whatever you can do.
All horrible
advice.
Listen
to me. Whatever you can do to make your house more haunted, you should try it.
Yes, and then invite us over.
I mean,
and we'll come investigate it.
Nope.
I mean, there was like this video I saw a while ago where you can play like all these games to summon ghosts and stuff, so we could try that. That's for sure. And I actually have a friend, my buddy's wife has a Ouija board that she has hanging up on her wall. She knows how to use it.
Get her over, play the Ouija board, don't close the game, leave the planchette wide open on the board, draw a fucking pentagram out of, fuck, what attracts demons? Sulfur? What do you draw a pentagram out of to get fucking demons? Whatever you gotta do.
Can't you use like salt? It kind of like... If you use salt, you can summon them, but then, like, I think salt like kind of keeps them
at
bay for the most part.
Yeah, it's like a protection thing. No salt. You don't want protection. You want yourself to be as possibly haunted as you can get.
I mean, haunted is one thing, but I do not want to become possessed, so.
Eh.
Okay, let's not throw the term possessed. A vessel. You just want to be a vessel.
You're just a meat suit anyway. Let the demons in. I've been
fair enough.
Trust me, it's harder than you think. I've been trying. They don't just enter for no reason.
Well, the day that happened with the soap container, my ex called. I told my ex, and then she said that our kids' backpacks, they were up on the shelf the entire weekend. They didn't have school on Monday, and then Tuesday morning, before while they were getting ready for school, they were all in the living room, and their backpacks had not been touched. They hadn't moved all weekend, and all of a sudden, one of the bags had flew off the shelf and right on the floor upside down. So my house is haunted and her house is haunted.
Something's following you, man.
Falling. Okay, that's great. Let's do a quick theory about the monoliths, and now we're gonna see if we can get some more calls.
All right. This isn't actually my theory. One of my coworkers brought it up to me the other day, and it's actually pretty interesting. Do you guys remember the story or the story of the cicada 3310 or whatever it was?
Yeah.
That was an internet thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the puzzles.
So my buddy thought maybe it was related to that somehow, and I'm like, well, how would that work? And then he's like, well, what if the places that it's landing right now are coordinates of some kind, and that's one of the clues in a cicada 3310? Like, it hasn't been active for a long time, but maybe he's, you know, back at it again, and he's coming up with coordinates now, and we have to use that to solve some kind of puzzle.
So he's part of an elaborate team of placing monoliths. They're not even technically monoliths because they're not made of stone, but people are calling them monoliths. But they're placing these metal pillars around the globe as some form of mystery to solve.
That's possible, because I mean, that's what the cicada thing, right, was, right? It was like a bunch of clues that he left, but then he kind of stopped giving out clues.
Right.
Yeah, cicada 3301 left a series of clues in major cities around the world in reference books harkening back to an ancient occult mystery.
It could be. I mean, you gotta ask your person at work. You guys gotta formulate more of a theory, but hey, maybe, because it's either one was an art installation and people are, and now there's just copycats, or if you want to stretch into some type of conspiracy, it's like a global spanning network of people doing this for a goal of some, whatever the goal may be. Maybe.
I mean, me personally, I think it's just some kind of like you said, art form or something, like some kind of hoax type of thing. I don't think it's anything paranormal or outworldly or anything like that. I think it's just maybe somebody's bored or has some kind of project they want to do, and about it.
Like the first one took effort to get out there, and they actually cut the ground and they placed it in there. It was an actual someone did. It took them a while. They didn't just the other ones seem very rushed and just stuck on the top of the ground. People can just push them over really easy. And so it seems like the first one maybe was some type of art thing, and people are now just, to me personally, it seems like now people are just copycatting. That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping more for a global conspiracy in my books. I'm hoping for it. But
yeah.
Okay, Cody, we're going to move on. But if more comes to that theory, keep write it down.
I'll let you guys know.
Formulate a plot. All right, man. Thanks, buddy. Bye.
Take care, man.
Yeah, that's more my theory on those steel monoliths. First one was more artistic, and people now are copcatting. Oh, another caller right away. Boom, let's get it. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hello.
Hello. You're live.
Can you hear me?
Yep, you're good. We can hear you.
Okay. Okay. So I don't really have a crop circle story, but I'm calling because I was listening to your guys's that new Cosmic Channel you guys have on the Apple podcast.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
you're live
right
now on it.
Episode 5 or 4.
5 or 4. Yep.
And I think it was Brayden that was telling the story of someone or something standing on a power line and it just flew away.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was me when I was a kid. I'm pretty sure I saw the Mothman. Well, that's what I like to think.
Okay, so that's kind of what my story's like.
Awesome.
So me and my friend, we live in a really small town. Like our town has like less than 1,000 people.
Can you tell us what the town is?
It's Schuyler, Nebraska.
Schuyler, Nebraska. Okay.
Yeah, it's a little
small town.
It's like a tiny town. So we can, if we want to go shopping or anything, we have to drive like 3 hours away. But we used to, after school, we used to like go out in the middle of the street and just hang out on the street and listen to music. But one time we were standing outside my house in the street and we looked up and on the power lines, there was just something like black. Like it was just, I don't even know how to explain it. It was just this, it looked like a person, but it was standing on the, I'm not sure if it's a phone line or a power line.
Right.
And when my friend was like, what is that? We looked up and when we looked up at it, like it was so big that when it flew away, we could actually hear like, you know, when like a, like it, like the wings flapping, like, or whatever it was. So it kind of sounded like the story that Brayden was saying. And
how long ago was this?
House where we used to live at. This was like, I was probably a freshman in high school and I'm like 27 years old now. So I don't know. That was probably like 10, 15 years 12, ago.
12, 13 years ago. Yeah.
I mean, there is, just doing a quick look up, there is quite a few accounts of some sort of winged cryptid in North Dakota, Nebraska, and Wyoming. About the size of a man, they say, with a 6 to 8 foot wingspan, skinny, long, like long beak-like nose. And there's a shot of it on a power line with like these, it looks like hellish looking wings. So
does it,
I mean,
does it have a name? Does it have a cryptid name?
It doesn't even have a name. They don't even name it. I just quickly looked it up.
Quick search yields.
The only thing that comes to mind when you describe like a human like creature with wings, did they seem to sprout from the back? Could you tell at all, or were they like attached to the arms?
No, it was nighttime, so it was like we just saw something like dark and big. Sure. Yeah, but I just knew that it was so big that we could hear when it flew away. And at first I thought maybe it was the bat or something, but I feel like I wouldn't have heard it fly away.
Yeah, you wouldn't hear that whoosh like of something. That's a big.
The only thing that really comes to mind, you know, cryptid wise or perhaps folklore wise is like a Japanese tengu, which is a type of like air demon. It's like a bird person with a, it's pretty much exactly what Brayden described, having a beak, having a, you know, human size with wings or stuff like that. That's the only thing I can think of off the top of my head. But what a Japanese tengu is doing over on this side of the Pacific, I'm not really sure.
Some people described Mothman as more owl-like than a moth, so maybe.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was too, an owl maybe or a bird. But this house we used to live at, it was so, like, my parents didn't own the house at the time. They just rented in there. And before, like, we used to take these little vacations to, well, do you guys have Walmart in Canada?
Oh, yeah.
Walmart's everywhere. It's taken over the planet.
Okay, so you guys know what Great Value is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I know
brand.
A Great Value when I see one.
Okay. So when we used to go to Worlds of Fun, and Worlds of Fun is like the Great Value version of Disney.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Some people say we're the Great Value version of Last Podcast on the Left.
Yeah, well, we used to go on vacation every summer there, and one time we were at the same house, we were getting ready to go to the vacation, but my dad had told me, like, let's go out to pack everything, and everybody was in the car except my older sister. So when my older sister said, I have to go inside and grab whatever, my dad was like, go inside and call her. So I went up to her room, and she was moving out to go to college, and her room was pretty much empty. She was just, what she had in her room was what she was taking on vacation with us. But when I went up inside, she wasn't in her room, and her room was empty. But I remember seeing this old, like an older man just on a chair rocking inside. And this is outside the same house that I saw that thing standing on the power line. So I don't know if it's the same thing, but that house burnt down a couple years after that.
Convenient.
Oh, shit.
Hmm. Well, they do say Mothman is a herald of disaster sometimes.
And yep.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's not a
harbinger of sorrow.
Besides the house burning down, anything else like tragic happened in or around the town?
I'm not sure. We have this like story in our town where we have a campground, and usually the only people that camp there are like people that live around our area and counties nearby. And there's this tree that people said that was used to hang people, but I'm not sure if that's true or not.
Oh, like old gallows tree.
Other than that, I'm not really sure. Both of my parents are Mexican, so around our house, my mom would say, we need to cut an onion open. That's going to keep the spirits away. Dip it in water. And
smart, oh, yeah. Smart lady.
Is she used to put an egg under your bed when you got sick? That's the real Mexican way of thinking.
No, actually, she would. What? When I was sick, she would tell me that we had to take drops of olive oil, and that usually worked, though. So,
some of those old wives' tales do hold true sometimes.
Yeah, but yeah, that's what when I heard Brayden's story on the older Cosmic episode, I was like, "That's it." The way he described it, it was exactly what me and my friend had.
Right, and you never seen this cryptid, or. This cryptid thing again, just that one time on the power line and you heard it flap away?
Yeah, just that was the only time I have ever seen like something. Stuff like that was at that old house, and after it burned down, I don't think I've ever seen anything else after that. My friends and I mean we tried playing the Ouija board there one time, but
awesome,
we're not sure if all of our other, because we were in high school, so all of our other friends were like, yeah, let's play it, but we're not sure if they actually moved it or not.
That's a mistake.
Did you play the Ouija board before or after you seen the cryptid?
It was after that.
Was it before or after the house burned down?
But before the old man.
Oh, so you summoned the old man, which was a demon, by playing the Ouija board. The old man.
You've summoned me from hell. I've come
like
from
I said,
the
my parents are both Mexican, so after they found out we did that, they freaked out. They were like, "You need to go to church. We're gonna tell the priest you did all of this." So I was standing in front of a priest, like, "Yeah, I did that, but we were just playing."
Well, hey, thank you very much for calling in and telling the story. If anyone else has seen this type of weird cryptid thing in that area or surrounding area, call in next week. Let us know.
Yeah. Also, I was going to say I was the person that sent a message to you guys on Twitter about naming my child Aurora because Brayden kept talking about Auroras.
Nice.
Yeah, so now when we yell at her, we just go Aurora like you used to.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
All right, well, thank you guys.
Yep, thank you very much for the story. Appreciate it. Have a good
night.
Bye. We got like a beaked man-sized cryptid with wings.
What if she just lived next to Bird Person? Maybe that's where Bird Person and Tammy Gutterman decided to fucking
that's
live.
So they settled
Could've
down.
Been Harvey Birdman, attorney at law.
There you go. You never know.
All I'm saying is, if there's something this big, because like I remember seeing it, and mind you, like I take it with a grain of salt because I was so young. But if you saw something like this, and let's say it doesn't just stay in one area, it flies all over the place, right? Like maybe it's not just, you know, Northwest, maybe like its migrating pattern is like, you know, all over the entire North America, South America, right? Who's to say, you know, these people were not all seeing the same kind of thing as a one-off, and you're just like, yeah, it was weird. I saw it at night. Like maybe this thing's hunkered down during the day, and in the evening, that's when it does most of its flying.
Like an owl?
Yeah. Like a man-sized owl man.
I remember like every time I see an owl, I'm always like, holy fuck, that's huge.
Dude, there is a giant, I don't know if without searching, I don't know if it's in this area, but the great horned owl is a gigantic bird. Dude, it stands like 3 feet tall with like an 8 foot wingspan. It's fucking insane.
But they don't have antennas.
Well,
no.
They might have like kind of whiskery things, maybe, if you get them confused, perhaps.
But yeah, no, every time I see a fucking owl, I'm always like fucking, like it's staggering. You're like, holy fuck.
We're going to take another call here. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Yo, it's Lizard Caveman.
What's up, Lizard Caveman?
Yo, what up?
Hey, guys. Oh, we're talking about birds. Today, I found out about the secretary bird. That's fucking crazy. It's like a hawk on stilts.
Right. It has little things. It's famous for like stomping snakes to death. That's like that's his job.
That's right? Pretty badass.
Oh, yeah. It's like my fucking mortal enemy.
Yeah, those are they're powerful birds. They're pretty rad looking too. It's like big old long stilts. They got the big old like black feathers sticking out the back of their heads. Yeah, they're pretty metal.
It's a fucking cool looking bird.
Oh yeah. Oh fuck yeah, man! They got the ganglies.
It reminds me of when the old Disney movie when Robin Hood goes to the archery contest dressed up like that fucking bird.
Yeah,
on stilts.
The stork. It's
just like he's a stork. Or he's a stork. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Anyways, what do you got for us tonight?
Reptilian theories, man. Let's hear it, guys. About the Troodons.
Oh, dude, that's going to be its own call-in show. That gets deep. You can go pretty far. But give us your quick thoughts, 5 minutes or less.
Well, I think that, it's definitely plausible for the Troodon dinosaur to have lived through the giant cataclysm. They had a lot of characteristics that probably led to them hopefully to survive and rule over our society nowadays. They lived in all over North America, mostly I've seen like in Alaska. And so on the West Coast, they definitely could have migrated down to LA where they're supposed to be in an underground city in the Hollow Earth kind of tie-in deal.
So you're saying a dinosaur pre 65 million year impact that was maybe very advanced at the time or very intelligent at the time survived and for 65 million years has been evolving.
Evolving. Yeah, it's subterranean layer, basically.
Shit.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had really big brains comparable to their body size. They were one of the most smart or the smartest dinosaurs. Well, they only had the smarts of like a chicken. I guess paleontologists have, studied their brain or their head size or whatever, their skull. But, if you have the smarts of a chicken 65 million years ago, and if you're still living now, you're bloodline. And,
hey, if we can go in just 2 million years to being just like ape, if you go with that theory from ape to who we are now, what another 63 million years going to do to humanity if we survive that long? So if you're going to say like
absolutely
an animal was that smart back then and say it doubles every, even if you give it like generously every like 5 or 10 million years, you're getting up there by now.
Yeah.
Now, Lizard Caveman, is there reptiles that we know of nowadays that like change their shape to mimic other animals? Like I know cuttlefish and stuff like that, but I'm talking like purely like reptiles.
I don't know about like mimicking other animals, but definitely mimicking their surroundings. Like I'm sure everyone knows about chameleons. Actually don't blend in with their, of course they look like their surroundings, sometimes different species, but like they actually change their colors based on emotion and like stress and temperature. So it's not like totally like trying to mimic their environment.
They're not actively camouflaging.
Now, do you think if it's one of those things where, you hear lots of times that like certain politicians and stuff are reptilians and you we've all heard that theory before. How are they wearing suits or do they have some sort of ability, say maybe like a cuttlefish, to like change how they look, to adapt?
I have thought about that a lot. When you think about, is a reptilian going to be a politician on TV where everyone can see? If I was a reptilian and like, even if I could like mimic my surroundings, like, I don't think I'd be going on TV, but I've thought about that too, like the alien realm, and whereas like instead of like using like chromatophores, like how cuttlefish use, and they like just flex their pigment cells.
Right.
I think like maybe it's more of like a light bending, like a mirror kind of like smoke and mirror kind of trick, like not like literal, but like maybe they've got some kind of like reflection wavelength. Like I just recently found out that a lot of birds have a reaction to UV light. Like if you shine one on them, you see light blue, light red. Like
oh, so
I don't know what that's all about.
So you're saying the theory more rather than them actually change their physical shape, they can alter like the light frequencies they emit to like make them look different. Is that what you're saying? Like different, like
yeah,
not I necessarily. Mean,
is that why a lot of people say they see them kind of change in different camera lens under certain light? That could possibly be why it's like you're seeing beyond the like beyond the smoke and mirrors per se.
Well, didn't they just figure that out with Tasmanian devils? That the bioluminescence?
Yeah.
Like they just discovered that shit, which is fucking cool.
What do you mean?
If you would have said that to me a month ago, I would have been like, that's bullshit. That's crazy.
I mean, I don't really know a lot about Tasmanian devils, so
it was first they caught it first ever on like photo evidence of them producing bioluminescence. Like it's at the Toledo Zoo or something. I can't remember somewhere.
So like at nighttime and they're like glowing or like what do you mean?
Yeah, they're actually glowing, like giving off like a bluish light
because
like from their body, like in their skin, eyes, fur. So strange.
I always seen that
super.
You
strange.
Can see that in a lot of oceans at nighttime when you like swirl your hand in the water will like glow blue or green.
Right.
So same type of thing, but it's coming off of actually off of Tasmanian devil. That's insane.
That's is it cool. actual bio, or is it biofluorescence or bioluminescence?
Maybe. Well, let's see. Bioluminescence.
They could be absorbing the light, and they could be absorbing the light and giving it off after they've absorbed it. Because like hawksbill, sea turtles, they do that, and they do that underwater. So like they blend in. Fluminescence. With light hunters.
Bioluminescence.
It's fluminescent or fluorescent. Yeah.
Fluorescent.
Well, let's not forget like. I remember there was a hashtag look it up. You can go. There's an old radio show interview, and I don't even remember how these two got on together. But Louis C.K. was on a radio interview with Donald Rumsfeld, and they were asking Donald Rumsfeld serious questions.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Listen.
Louis C.K. and Donald Rumsfeld?
Here's what I'm saying.
Holy fuck.
Well, if you wait for a fucking second, I'll get to the point
about
of my story.
Fucking...
I'm waiting. I'm ready.
Go ahead.
So in that, Louis C.K. just is annoyed with the conversation, just asks him. He goes, hey, like, just tell everyone you're not a reptilian. You're not a lizard person. And for like a 15-minute interview, Donald Rumsfeld will not answer the question if he is a lizard or not. And Louis C.K. is like, this is unbelievable. Just answer the goddamn question now. Like, no one cares about anything else you have to say. Just, are you a lizard or not? And it felt like a long time. Donald Rumsfeld is like, will not say he's not a lizard.
And then the lizard people crash his career by telling everybody that he masturbates in front of people.
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's fact.
Makes sense.
I think it's fact. Yeah.
Oh, anyways, Lizard Caveman, I love that theory about a possible surviving member of dinosaur that became more advanced than we thought. Maybe not necessarily that they're maybe infiltrated our governments and stuff, but maybe they escaped. They're
right.
They live dormant or they live underground or whatever. It's
if we go
it's
by
cool
Project Blue Books, like they're one of the ones listed, whether they're from here or from somewhere else.
Right.
All right. Okay.
I like it. I like the theory. All right,
cool.
Buddy. Thanks, man. We're going to take one more call tonight and we're going to wrap this
no
one
problem.
Up. We'll talk to you soon.
Cool. Bye. See you guys.
Take care, buddy.
Take care.
By far the weirdest thing we've brought up tonight is Donald Rumsfeld and Louis C.K.
It made sense. In the end, Brain brought it up. He brought it around in
he
the
brought
end.
It back.
I just think those are two names that I did not anticipate hearing at all.
All right.
Even in the same sentence.
We're going to bring in one more call here.
Hello.
Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey, guys.
How's it going?
Hey, yeah, it's Peach calling from Portland, Oregon.
Oh, hey, Peach, how's it going?
Oh, you know, just dandy. So I wanted to call and talk to you guys about crop circles a little bit because it's one of my passions.
Yeah.
And we were kind of, you guys were kind of talk about fairies and stuff. And one thing that I always like to talk to people about is, I don't know if you guys are familiar with what semetics is. Semetics. It's like when
the sound.
If you've ever seen videos where, yeah, like the ideas of sound. Well, it's when like, so have you ever seen someone like place sand on like a steel dish and then vibrate a bowstring across it?
Well, yeah, you run a frequency through like a solid object with like something like granular on top, and it will take a form.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's based on this Hungarian physicist. He's the one who like kind of started this idea of kind of showing sound through like a physical medium. So there was actually a radio telescope that did a recording of the Crab Nebula, and they ran the frequency of that sound over like, sand, and it kind of recreated this shape that was extremely similar to what we view the nebula as looking like. So if you take that kind of idea of sound creating physical shapes and apply it to, you know, the geometry of crop circles, then the potential of them being kind of sound blasted towards us that kind of falls through our dimensional plane, I think is really interesting.
Yeah, because some of the crop circles, I can't remember where I seen it, but someone like took some of the crop circles and like, all right, this is an A440 plate on with sand over a plate, like cymatics. And it was the same, like geometric shape as like the crop circle, and they're like, oh, that's like a 440, and this is a 660, and they went through all the hertz, and they identified like a bunch of different crop circles of what they look like, like the crops themselves, same as the sand did on the plate, which I thought, this was quite a while ago now, but back like when we talked to Freddie Silva the first time, but I thought that's like really cool that like, because crop circles, they always, like, the node is not broken or bent. It's, like, fused sideways. And, like, the ones they claim are, like, authentic, like, non-man-made crop circle. So, yeah, that theory, I've heard that before. That's cool.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And, like, the reason, like, I'm so obsessed with Freddie Silva is because I am from Indiana originally, so I grew up around crop fields and cornfields my whole life. And so I always wanted to see, you know, a crop circle. But I read his book, Secrets in the Fields, and he has like a whole section on acoustical alchemy and this idea of like sound creating these shapes. And he also talks about the idea of imagining if, you know, as this 3D life that we live, if something in the 4D plane breaks through our 3D plane, it would be like a stick figure on a piece of paper with a sphere transecting it. They wouldn't see it as a sphere, they would see it as a circle. So if something 4D was transecting our plane, we would see it as, you know, something flat, like a crop circle. So perhaps it's a 4D sound or a 4D shape that's transecting our space.
So either coming from outside or inside Earth, up or down or something, and then it leaves that shape, which we can see only as a shape, 2D, like a crop circle, but if you could see like the extra dimension or whatever, you would see that shape like extend out. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that is a really cool theory, because a lot of those original crop circles that were obviously not done by Doug and Dave or whatever. Who were the two guys who were busting boards and claimed that they did all the crop circles? But the ones that like Freddie Silva and stuff, they really like researched the ones with like, the stalks weren't broken or bent. They looked actually fused. You're like, that just, it doesn't seem natural.
On a molecular level. Yeah, and then on a molecular level, they were also changed.
Yeah, it wasn't like, Doug and Dave aren't going to the fucking crop circles and refusing molecular structures of crops.
Doug and Dave did not know cymatics. They did not know what shape sound makes in the physical plane.
No. And it's like, even when there have been like groups that have sunk thousands of dollars into trying to recreate these with, you know, huge stadium lighting, you know, at night using this, you know, the best engineering, and they can't even come within, you know, a certain degree of the perfection of the geometric shapes.
Yeah, I would. I've heard
truth
that
is out there, man.
I've heard that
truth
theory before. It's very, it's very fun to think about, because you can see it. You could do this experiment yourself, and you could recreate some of the shapes of some of these crop circles if you had, like, you could send sound through a vibrating plate with sand on top. Like, they physically take the shape depending on the frequency given, which is bananas.
Yeah, and understanding just like the art aspect, you know, or just like the math and geometry behind it, like, you know, the whole like golden ratio, like all those things, like the basis of like the five platonic solids, the proportions within those are represented in every being in the universe, how a hurricane spirals, how things grow, like sunflower seeds, that whole thing. So it would make sense that these representations of outside our galaxy or, you know, wherever they're coming from, that they would be within those proportions. So it all has like, you know, a very resonant feel to it.
Yeah, we live in like a mathematical universe, and these are just like the physical representations of some of, you know, of that math, right? Like the spiral and like Fibonacci sequence, all that stuff. You see this, like that pattern repeating all across nature. So that's really cool.
It's like when you eat LSD or like, you know, mushrooms, and you start to see those like patterns and shapes, like it's all that like continuation of like, you know, the language of the world, the language of the galaxy.
That's 100%. If you've never experienced that, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You definitely tap into something.
There's Peach. That's
not on this plane.
That's a really cool theory, and that is something that we will eventually get more into, is like sacred geometry and like how it relates to like the natural world and stuff, because that is really fun stuff to like just look.
I would love that.
You just look at like, yeah, exactly. You said like how like sunflowers form and like how like shells are shaped and like how it all kind of relates to each other. It's really cool.
Awesome. Well, thanks guys so much. I appreciate taking my call.
Yep. 100%. Thank you
very
much.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's sends you down some fun rabbit holes.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
Bye guys.
Okay, Jennifer, I know you wanted to tell your story, and I said last call, so if you're still there and you want to tell your story, last call, let's do it. And if not, save it for next week and or another time, and we'll get to you then. But those are some good call-ins today. We have some Bigfoot, UFOs, some...
some mind-blowing mathematics.
We had some run.
Nice that last one.
Andrew, you follow that at all?
That last one was so far above my pay grade, it's not even
funny. The crop circles and sacred geometry? You should look up, if you do nothing to do with crop circles or anything, let's look up cymatics and like the people in like universities and stuff doing it in the classroom. And like, it's crazy the shapes that sound makes on the plate with the sand. It's bananas. All right. One more call here.
If we're going to be doing a case file on it, I'm going to have to start studying now to be ready.
Okay. We'll give you a month.
Even if it's like 6 months
month
away,
lead time. So. All right. Last caller.
A month.
Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey guys.
Hello. Is this Jennifer?
How's it going?
Yeah, it's Jennifer Swope.
Jennifer Swope. Thank you very much.
What's up?
Woo. Save the best
What's
for last.
What's up, guys? Calling from the land of Lincoln.
Hey, shouldn't you be watching Monday Night Football right now? Aren't your Chiefs playing?
Sunday?
My husband's out in the garage. It's Sunday. Oh. Yes, they are. And I made a promise to my son that I would do this instead because he really wants a story because he's really kind of upset and wants to know what you guys think.
Sure.
That's fair.
It is a sleep paralysis story. He's had sleep paralysis before. Now he's older. He's 24. He was at his home and he woke up. He said he knew he was still in REM sleep. He could sense that. He knew he was going through a bout of sleep paralysis. He felt the dog. He has a big black German Shepherd dog. The dog he thought was on top of him. So he was able to move his right arm and put his hand up to, you know, pet the dog or whatever. And he said he felt the dog, you know, growled at him, bit his hand, then licked it. But he said the growl wasn't a normal growl. It was a kind of like, I'm going to rip your hand off. But it wasn't a bad bite, he said. So he couldn't move his head. He couldn't look to the right, but he could look to the left. And what he saw, he said it was kind of like the shape of his head. He could see the yellow, like the nose was yellow. He said to him, it looked like the dog's face had inverted, almost like a skeleton or something. And he couldn't move. He tried to, you know, he was trying to move, like, and he said, get off. And Alf, which name of his dog, Alf, you know, nothing moved. So it growled at him again, very nasty. And he screamed, get off. And he said, as soon as he screamed, he could move. And he, you know, he was like, what the hell? And so he was able to wake himself up, you know, and he looked up and the dog was in another room, had not moved at all, had not moved from his spot in the other room. Ooh. There was no dog on top of him.
I know I've had, you know, it's not a, everybody knows I've had sleep paralysis before. And I've had instances where it's like, there's still a part of me that I know I'm not fully awake. I know I can't move, but I'm not fully awake at that point. I'm still kind of experiencing that dreamlike state at that point. And I know there have been times I can't fully remember what was going on, but I know that I'm struggling to wake myself up. And it, when I do manage to begin moving, like it's with a really strong movement. Like I usually kick my legs. It's usually, I know I kick one of my legs like way up in the air and like, and I make some noise or something. It's, I've had that happen to me before. Like I've waked up kicking and pretty much literally kicking and screaming when it's just like, it's, yeah, you're just, I mean, trying so hard.
Yeah. And he said, I felt the weight of the dog. I said, did you smell anything? And he said, it didn't. He goes, because, you know, dog's breath. He goes, of course I can smell that. He goes, but no, I didn't smell anything. Nothing. He said it was the scariest thing that ever happened to him. He's had sleep paralysis before. Never like that. Other people heard him scream. Said, no, dog's been in here the whole time. So I'm going to tell you, just to be honest, he has Asperger's with, you know, the highest functioning form of autism.
Yep.
He's not prone to flights of fancy, doesn't buy into most of this crap. He's freaked out.
If it were a recurring thing, I might be worried. But if it's something that doesn't happen before, it's only happened once. I know it's happened to me, and it's happened to me at least one or two times, but they're never, not all of my sleep paralysis experiences have ever been the same. They've all been wildly different kind of in some situations. And but I know I've waken up just like he has before, where it's like you were physically like throwing off the blankets and just like you spring out of bed or something. Just suddenly, it's just all of a sudden you can move. But before that, prior to that, like I know I was still kind of asleep, still kind of dreaming. Cause once you shift over into the waking state, that you're definitely like seeing, you're not seeing those things anymore. It's like, you know, you're fine. It's just, but it is terrifying.
And I've read stress can do that.
Yeah. Now I got a question about,
I've heard stress can do that.
I want to ask about, because he says he got bit by the dog, which ended up not being actually the dog. It was a shadow dog in his sleep or whatever, but there no mark on his hand or like nothing physical.
No mark. I asked him, I said, no marks, no scratch. No. Did you feel? And he said, no. And he said, it wasn't really, the growl was meaner than the bite was. It was kind of like your typical, when your dog, you give your dog your hand and you feel the graze of the teeth, the bite, and then the lick. But it was the growl that scared him, because the dog doesn't growl at him like that ever. But the dog wasn't even in there. So right. I told him, you know, I said, could it be stress? Because I've read about these things. And so I told him I would call, because I know Dan's had a lot of sleep paralysis incidents, and he's really freaked out about this. He's like, do I have a demon in the house? And I said, I don't think so. I lived there.
If it's not reoccurring, if it's just like a one-time thing, it might just be like Dan said, it's like something that comes and has gone. But I mean, I've never had it, but I'd imagine it'd be quite terrifying especially if something like that, where you physically, you thought you got bit and like you thought it was your dog, and you wake up and you scream and like it's a dog's in the other room. I could see it being like pretty terrifying.
Yeah, I've never had sleep paralysis, so it's hard for me to comment on. But like every story I've heard about it, I'm like, yeah, that's good. I don't want it.
Yeah,
like, I'm good.
No, thank you.
God, no.
And you know what? I even asked, I said, did you watch a horror movie or anything? And he said, no, he hadn't watched anything that would upset him. Nothing. Just typical night.
It doesn't have to be anything like that. Like, I know I've had sleep paralysis when it's like, I didn't watch a horror movie. I didn't do anything. It can be just, you know, it just happens. Like, it's just, it's happened to me a few times and I don't know why, but it's, I've definitely had the ones where it's like, it goes from, I gradually am able to move my body where it's like wiggle your big toe, now kind of like shift your weight, kind of roll over. And then I've had the other ones where it's like a violent waking experience where I like, you know, throw one of my arms up and I'm like, you know, make the sound when you're like waking up out of a bad dream or something. I've had those. But again, yeah, if it's not in a recurring thing, I wouldn't be too worried about it. It's just a bad dream. And sometimes it happens that it can, a lot of from what I've researched about it, it's like, yeah, stress can do it. You know, if you're stressed out about something. But sometimes for me, it's like, I know some of the times I went to bed perfectly fine and it's just,
just happens.
Like, it just happens.
Awesome.
Well, good. Thanks, you guys, because I told him, he's listening right now, and I promised him I'd call because it's been really bothering him.
So. No, glad. Yeah, that's definitely a scary, like terrifying experience. And yeah.
So. Let us know if it's reoccurring. Like if something else happens definitely. Now, then give us a call. Let us know if it's, you know, a reoccurring issue.
Absolutely, I will. And I mean, it's not like an old house or anything like that. So I know
it's not haunted.
Not paranormally activated.
Just have them relax, drink some chamomile before bed, and just chill out and just be all right.
Oh, thanks, guys. And Andrew, I'm not worried. I know Mahomes is winning.
Well, I won't make any spoilers.
All right. Thanks, Jennifer. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good
night. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. All right. That was a fun Cosmic Channels. We had topics all over the map. That was awesome. If you are just listening to this now as a podcast and you want to call into future episodes, we're recording these Sundays at 6:30. You can watch live on Twitch and YouTube. And I think, Andrew, I think we got socials going for this now, don't we? Facebook, Instagram?
We do.
Facebook and Instagram. Is that it? Do we have Twitter? I don't think we have Twitter yet.
We don't have Twitter, no.
Not yet. But Facebook, Instagram, search Cosmic Channels, tune in live, and...
Sunday, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time.
Pacific time, that is
right. That's correct.
Is there people in other time zones?
Yes. No, it's not just West Coast only. All right, is that it for this week?
That's it.
I believe so. Cosmic Channels is brought to you by Big Theory Productions. The Cosmic Channels are now closed.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.